Did you know that I trained her how to sing? Good evening. We're so excited to be back here, and thank you, Pastor, for inviting us back and for being so gracious to us to present God's call in our lives. And we'll introduce ourselves again, and we'll show our video presentation, and I'll come back and finish up the presentation and share a message to you. So you probably know already how you can say our last name, okay? So, by the way, my name is Dennis, and my beautiful wife is Holly, and I will ask her to please stand. And I usually ask her to stand so you could see that I'm not lying when I said beautiful, amen? And that's for 10,000 points. So we are the Lagos family. You can call us Lagos family. It doesn't matter. We will accept both, okay? And you probably were here the last time I said this. So every time you step on Lagos, that's the best time to pray for us. Because it hurts and it may tempt you to say unpleasant words. You could just say a prayer for the Lagos family. Amen? Like, Lord, please protect the Lagos family so no one would step on them. Amen. So we will show now our video presentation, and then I'll come back. My name is Dennis Lagos. I was born and reared in a Roman Catholic family. I was very religious and headed to become a Roman Catholic priest. During my senior year in a Catholic high school, my schoolmate and friend, who happened to be the only Baptist but not supposed to be allowed to be in that school, won me to the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife is Holly Lagos. 2 months after we got married in December 26, 2007, God called me to start a church. We began Bible studies for children and for adults, for the rich and for the poor, in the streets and establishments. We had a feeding program for the kids. After months of Bible studies, we started gathering believers together to begin our church plan. Our first Sunday service was held in our home, and it just continued to grow. We had been serving in the new church plan for only 7 months when a situation arose that had compromised my wife's safety and consequently my safety as well. With God's protection, my wife safely exited the Philippines, and with God's leading, I handed the church plant over to a person whom I had the privilege of being a part of his training. Shortly, I joined my wife in the United States. While here in the U.S., God led us to a group of people called refugees. While serving at Fellowship Baptist Church under Dr. Rick Finley, God used us to start a ministry to these precious peoples from all over the world who had come to America seeking refuge. By God's grace, we have served in this ministry over the last 4.5 years, with God yielding fruit to His glory. It was only last 2013 that we had the opportunity to revisit a church plant in the Philippines. We were blessed to learn the church is still growing and serving the Lord. We also met with our good friend, the police officer, who informed us that the threat in the past had been eliminated. Praise the Lord. While we were there, God used us to share the gospel. I was also given the privilege to preach in different churches. Then we were invited by a friend to visit his place in the Philippines that I had not been to in nearly 10 years, and my wife had never visited. It is located in the southernmost tip of the main island called Luzon, and nearly 15 hours of travel to reach. This place is called Bicol Region. Once we were there, God began to move in my heart. I saw the wide gap between the rich and the poor. The region retains Catholicism as the highest number of followers than any other area in the Philippines. The Our Lady of Peña Francia Fiesta has the largest Marian devotion in Asia. This is a week-long celebration to honor the Virgin Mary. This region holds the most number of men entering the seminary for Catholic priesthood, and the most women entering the religious life to become Catholic nuns. This area can be compared to as the Vatican of the Philippines for the tremendous Catholic stronghold in this place. I saw the need in this place, and I felt the urgency to spread the gospel across this region. God used our vacation as a survey trip, and I knew God was calling me back to the Philippines. Our priority is to win souls, have in-home Bible studies, to disciple the souls won to the Lord, to establish Bible-believing, soul-winning Baptist churches through training the local believers. By God's grace, just like the Mayon volcano, we will be active in fulfilling the Great Commission for our God and Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Rick Finley, pastor of the Fellowship Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina, and we're privileged to be the sending church for Dennis and Holly Lagos. I have been honored to serve as the Lagos' pastor for the last 5 years. During that time, I have watched them faithfully win people to Christ and bring converts down the aisle. They have supported our church in every way possible, and we're thrilled to be able to support them as they take the gospel to the very needy people in the Philippines. Please let me encourage you to get behind the Lagoses with prayer and financial support if possible as they seek to promote Christ in that needy part of the world.
Holy Jesus, Jesus satisfied.
We are going to Bicol region of the Philippines, and I will help you remember the place so you could pray for the people of Bicol region. So think of this. If you want to be cool, pray for Bicol, Philippines. Did you get that?
Yeah.
All right, let's try it. If you want to be cool, pray for
Bicol.
Amen, you got it already. So every time you step on Lagos, pray for the Lagos family. If you want to be cool, pray for Bicol. Amen. So Philippines has 7,107 islands with 105 million people. So imagine the size of North Carolina, 2.5 times of this state. But the population is a third of this country, not just North Carolina. So it's densely populated. We also have 125 to 170 languages and dialects and sub-dialects. We already speak the national language, praise the Lord, and we will start with that as we try to reach the lost people there. And at the same time, we will try to learn their dialect, which is called Bicolano, through immersion. So if you will go through to that region, so they have a dialect, main dialect, Bicolano. But they have 7 or 8 sub-dialects. So if you go to a different county, they may speak a different variation of that dialect.
So that's how crazy it is. Last time you were here, I probably told you that we were at 92% already. And praise the Lord, we are already at 96% of our target support level. We purchased our tickets way back in April by faith because we want to honor God. At the very end of our deputation ministry, we want God to receive the glory and the honor and the praise. And we will just say, it's God who did it. Amen. And we can see it unfolding. And praise the Lord. We are 96% and hoping before we fly to the Philippines on July 4th, we will reach 100% already. Amen. So July 4th, I believe, is the highlight of American holidays and history. And when God showed us the price on that day is the cheapest, we got those tickets. We purchased those tickets. The next day, I check, it went up. So it's God's will that we purchased those tickets on that day. Praise the Lord. So we ask that you will pray for us. I don't know if you are already updated with what's happening in the Philippines. Right now, it's 1/3 of the whole country is under martial law. It's crazy. And we are preparing ourselves already, and it's probably not going to be a surprise for us if he will declare martial law in the whole Philippines. It's going to be a history repeating itself from the Marcos regime, if you are familiar with that president. So we really need your prayers. And it's amazing how God reveals his plan for our lives. It's a step-by-step process. So when I answered God's call to go back to the Philippines to start our second church plant, I researched about that place. And then, though I was born there, I knew about that region, but that's the time that I learned that that's the Vatican of the Philippines, where the most of the priests and nuns came out of. And then during our deputation ministry, probably 1 year, 3 months, or 1 year, 6 months already, and then another information revealed to us. And this region is not just the stronghold of Catholicism, but also a stronghold of the communist rebels. And by the way, the city that we'll be going to is the headquarters of the communist rebels. So we really need your prayers. We are not afraid, but we really need your prayers. And we plan to stay there as long as God wants us to be there and start churches and training people whom God will call in the ministry to become pastors, evangelists, and missionaries, and Sunday school teachers. So we really need prayers, and if God leads you to partner with us in prayer and financial support, it will be a great honor for us to be your missionaries. So let's now open our Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Again, we are grateful for this great opportunity to share God's call on our lives. Luke chapter 13, if you are able, please stand with me as I read verses 6 to 9. Luke 13, verses 6 to 9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. We humble ourselves before you because we cannot do anything apart from you. And I pray, Lord, that you will use me to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters here, O God. And that's my desire, Lord. Please meet with us tonight, O God, and may you be glorified in our midst. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So these verses were originally addressed to the nation of Israel. But when it comes to God's grace and mercy, I believe they apply to each and every one of us. So tonight, I would like you to put yourself as the fig tree here. And you will find also in verse 6, the vineyard owner is represented by God the Father. And in verse 7, the vine dresser is represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. So after we got saved, God is looking for fruit in our lives. And if God could not find fruit in our lives, He will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and He will say, Son, this Christian, I can find fruit in this Christian. He's just taking up space. You can cut him down. It sounds very harsh. If you will look those 3 years as three chances given to that person, yes, it may sound very, very harsh. But if you will take those 3 years into account by the number of days in a year, so 3 years times 365, that will be 1,095 times that God the Father came to that person seeking fruit and found none. That's a lot of chances, 1,095 times. How about let's take it farther by the number of seconds. So 3 years times 365 days in a year, times 24 hours in a day, times 60 minutes in an hour, times 60 seconds in a minute. Anyone who would like to volunteer to answer that? Pastor will give you $100. Just kidding. Just kidding. I already memorized the answer. It's 94,608,000 times that God the Father came to that person seeking fruit and found none. That's a lot of chances. But God is infinite. How can we multiply 3 years into infinity? That's why I believe God is so gracious and merciful in our lives. And if you will look back at the past, at your past life and answer this question, how many times have you failed God? How many times have we failed God? How many times have you chosen this world over the Lord? How many times have you chosen your jobs over God? How many times have you cheated instead of asking God's help in your life? And how many times did we give in to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes over our desire for God? And I could ask you so many questions, but you will still arrive in the same answer. We failed God miserably. So many, many times. But I have good news for you tonight. In verse 8, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Amen. God is so gracious and merciful in our lives, and he still wants to make a difference in our lives. And that's the message for tonight. That's the title of the message for tonight. God can make a difference in our lives. And I'll share to you 4 ways on how God can make a difference in our lives. Number 1, God can turn a mess into a message. God can turn a mess into a message. I came from a religious family, but at the same time, a broken family. My parents separated when I was just 6 years old. People ask me how many siblings we have. Originally, we are three. And then my mom has another family. They have three children, and my dad has another family, and they have one child. So, seven total. And the three of us grew up with the other family of my mom, with the other three children. So, and I remember this growing up. When my mom and my stepdad bought new clothes and new toys, they gave them to the other three, and we were left out. You could probably imagine me crying in the corner, developing these negative emotions, anger, jealousy, bitterness. I could have just decided in my life to just rebel against my parents because they messed up my life. I could have been involved in drugs or vices, in crimes and gangs. Could have been in jail tonight. But praise God, and I thank God that He preserved my life. He didn't allow me to destroy my own life. Though I didn't go that direction of my life, I went the opposite direction by being self-righteous, trying to gain God's favor in my life through good works and religion. So I became an altar boy. I served with the priest every day, morning and evening, from Sunday to Sunday. I memorized all kinds of prayers. I participated in sacraments in the Catholic religion. And I was thinking and hoping that I could go to heaven one day. But praise God, one day I got invited to a Baptist church. 3 months before graduation from high school, at that time I was already pre-enrolled to become a Roman Catholic priest. So I was waiting to graduate from high school and then go immediately directly to the Catholic seminary to become a priest. But someone invited me to a Baptist church. Imagine this, in a Roman Catholic high school, supposedly only Catholics were allowed, but there was one Christian there. And he was a Baptist, and he was my classmate, and he became my friend. Is that a coincidence? I don't believe it. I believe God is orchestrating events in our lives. And His only purpose for that young man is for me to be invited to a Baptist church. So I compromised with him. I don't know how he was able to invite me because I was busy serving my religion. So I told him, I will go to your church in the evening, but I will have to attend my Catholic Mass in the morning. I attended the evening church. The pastor preached. He touched salvation at the end, and he gave invitation for salvation. And I got convicted. I already knew that if I will die tonight, that night, I will go to hell because I was a sinner. It's not about my righteousness. It's not about my good works or my religion or doing those sacraments. But it's only about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me on the cross to pay for my sin. And I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ that night. I raised my hand for salvation. January 10, 1993, I got saved, and God turned my mess into a message that night. And the key person that God used that night was that young man. I believe God can use you as well in a great and mighty way by just inviting one person, and pastor will just preach the gospel, and that person may be saved that night or that morning. You'll never know how God can use you for just inviting one person. You'll never know that person could be the next evangelist, the next missionary, Sunday school teacher, or pastor, or Sunday or pastor's wife. By just inviting one person, and God can turn that person's mess into a message. Number two, God can turn a trial into triumph. God can turn a trial into triumph. So I was still in that Catholic high school, probably days old, only Christian, or weeks old Christian. At that time, I already experienced persecution in my life. So I was the first one who got saved in my family. So my mom got angry at me. My brother said mean things against me. My friends became distant from me. My classmates mocked me as I enter the vicinity of the school. My teachers talked to me and tried to convince me to go back to Catholicism. Then finally, the principal, she was a nun. So she invited me to go to her office. I got nervous because she was the principal of that school. So she told me this, "Dennis, you're still in this school, and we have still rules and regulations and requirements. You still have to memorize and recite prayers. You still have to participate in the Holy Communion, and you have to confess your sins to the priest." Guess what I did? I didn't do what she said. So they probably got angrier at me. So they came up with another plan. And I'm giving God the glory and honor and praise because this is about Him, not about me. So they came up with this. At that time, I was second in ranking in the whole class. And then they deducted a lot of points, not just from one or two subjects, but from all of my subjects, including physical education. So from second, I became fifth. So as a 16-year-old young man, that's a big pressure for me. Because as a young man, you want to have acceptance of your peers. You want to be famous among your peers. Should I just give in to this pressure and enjoy the pleasure of this world for a moment? Or should I just stand for God and suffer the consequences? I praise God because He gave me the grace to stand up for Him. And God can do miraculous things when we stand up for Him. And this is what God did. So the final exams came. I studied, of course. It's not instantaneous. I became genius. No, I didn't. I just studied, and God gave me the ability to memorize what I studied. And praise God, I almost perfected the final exams. And God brought me back from fifth to second again. So God turned my trial into triumph. If we will just stand up for God, God will give us the grace and we can be victorious. And God can give us triumph in our lives. I know you are also experiencing persecution in your life. I know you can't pray in your workplace anymore. I know you cannot share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in school or in your workplace anymore. And there's some places we've been that people called police on us because we were distributing gospel tracts. And you'll never, probably you have never imagined that this time will come that a persecution, a great persecution will come into this great country. But if we will just stand up for God, He will give us the grace, and He can turn the trial into triumph. I hope this will never come in this place, that someone will put a gun in your head. Choose your faith and die, or deny it and live. It's happening all over the world. It's probably not in the news every day, but it's happening. So number three. So number one, God can turn a mess into a message. God can turn a trial into triumph. Number three, God can turn a test into a testimony. Very good. You're very smart. So this is our story, our love story, how God brought us together. So, by the way, she was a single lady missionary in the Philippines. And she was very brave, and she's still very brave. Because at the age of 23, she didn't know the language of the Philippines. She didn't know where she will be staying in the Philippines. And she didn't know who will be picking her up from the airport. I don't know if you will do it to go there. But she did and went to the Philippines because God called her to go there and serve Him there in the Philippines with the nationals only. And she was able to learn the language in 6 months. Do you know how? How about no one spoke to you in English? That's how you can learn the language in no time, okay? So at that time, she served away for 2.5 years. We never crossed paths. That time, I was already serving the Lord for 10 years in a full-time ministry as an assistant pastor. And that year, August 23, 2006, I turned 30 years old. And I got excited about turning 30 years old because I found out about Joseph the Dreamer in the Old Testament. When he turned 30 years old, God used him greatly in Egypt. So I got excited about that. So, and also I found out that David became king at the age of 30. So now I'm doubly excited. And of course, I already knew that the Lord Jesus Christ started His earthly ministry at the age of 30. So I'm triply excited, turning 30 years old. And I told God that time when I turned 30, Lord, now is my time. I will be expecting great things from You. Just like Joseph and David. So, August 23, 2006, then December 2006, she was homesick for the Philippines. And she took advantage of free ticket to go back to the Philippines for Christmas break for 2.5 weeks. And her friends, where she will be staying at, happened to move in our home church, in our church. So she will be forced to attend our church, right? So she attended our church. We were introduced. When I first saw her, I already knew that she was the one for me. She's the one I've been waiting for. And of course, the church people knew about it and told me, Brother Dennis, if you already knew, you have to tell her that, okay? But praise the Lord, I zipped my mouth at that time because she was not looking for a husband. She was content as a single lady missionary like Amy Carmichael to India. So if I had told her that she was the one for me, she would have answered me no immediately. So 2.5 weeks passed by. She came back here in the U.S. 3 weeks after she arrived here, I emailed her this with this question. So be careful. If a Filipino Christian from the Philippines email you with this because she already knew what I meant by this because she knew the culture. So be careful, okay? I emailed her with this question. Would you pray God's will for our lives? So if you reply yes and click send, you are in big trouble because you are answering for a marriage proposal. Yes. Yes. Okay, send. Go ahead. So she said, yes. Okay, I will pray for you. You are 10,000 miles away from me. And this is my condition. We will just pray. You're not going to court me or send me wooing messages or sweet messages. I will just pray, and if God tells me that He has a partner for me, I will let you know. It's like a job interview, right? I will let you know. We didn't have a time of like a time frame. I will pray for you for this week, how many weeks or months. We just prayed. Then one Sunday morning, I was ready to do our bus ministry, fetching people. I received a call. I knew it's from the U.S. because of the code, but no name. So I answered, and she said, God told me that he has a partner for me, and that is Hugh. Now we can get married. So we met one time in December 2006 for the first time. She flew back the following year, met for the second time, and got married. We didn't have courtship, never dated, but now we are happily married and dating for 9.5 years. So now we can tell in every church and tell our testimony, because God turned our test into our testimony, and tell the young people that you can just serve God, obey His will in your life, and wait, patiently wait for His will in your life. God already planned the best and perfect person for you. The problem is this, and sometimes adults also, we think that we are smarter than God by just taking things into our own hands, and then trouble comes. But if we would just serve God, obey His will, and patiently wait for God, for His will, God can turn your test into a testimony. Lastly, God can turn a victim into a victor. God can turn a victim into a victor. So 2 months after we got married, God called me to start a church in the Philippines. You saw that in our video presentation. 7 months into the new church plant, God was blessing. People got saved and baptized. So we need more chairs for the church. So we went out. We bought new chairs. On our way back home, we rode the jeepney. You saw that in the video presentation. Supposedly a 20-passenger vehicle, but you saw 50 people in that jeepney. And there's a saying, if you can see the color of the jeepney, it's still not full. Because you have to see people on top, on sides, at the back, and even in the front. So, praise God, we were the first passengers of the jeepney. And then, a minute after, 5 men rode in. So, we never thought of those men that they will do something bad. They were wearing semi-formal clothes. And then they did their trick. Someone dropped the coins in front of me, so I would bend and help him to distract me and my wife while someone beside me was working in my pocket. So he was very good because I never felt a thing. And then he got off, and to make the long story short, we became victims of pickpocketers. And at that time, we didn't know that they were part of a bigger group like a mafia. And they have connection with the Muslim terrorists in the south, with Al-Qaeda at that time. So now it's ISIS in that region. That's why they have a martial law in that region at this time. So it grew worse, escalated to the point that there was a frustrated attempt of kidnapping. So the person who was helping us, he was a police military officer, he told us that she needed to leave the Philippines. So our hearts were brokenhearted because we were serving God. We had tried to obey His will in our lives. And then God allowed that to happen. And for those people who knew about it, they thought that there's nothing good that will come out of that situation. But praise God, because God has a plan and perfect will for our lives, God can turn a victim into a victor. We didn't plan of going here and staying here. God uprooted us from the Philippines because God has a purpose for us. And that is to start the refugee ministry in Raleigh-Durham area. Imagine those people from Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nepal, Burma, Congo, Zambia, and other parts of the world. We brought Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus in our church. I wish you were there when we brought them in our church, those Muslims in their full attire and those Hindus in their attire, and they were able to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ clearly. And we praise God. Some of them got saved and baptized. God turned a victim into a victor. We would never have met them if we were in the Philippines at that time and never had that opportunity to share the gospel to those people. And we praise God because God has a plan for us. God can turn a victim into a victor. But tonight, the question is not about, can God make a difference in our lives? For sure, He can make a difference in our lives. And He wants to make a difference in our lives. The question for tonight is this: will you allow God to make a difference in your life? Because we are not robots. We have a will. We have a choice. God will not force us His will on us. We have to make that choice. We have to say, yes, Lord, I allow You to make a difference in my life. And I will give you a warning. Though this verse is an encouraging verse, verse 8, it also serves as a warning. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. Notice the phrase, let it alone this year also. So there is a time frame. We cannot just abuse God's grace and mercy in our lives and not suffer consequences. I believe in sin unto death, and about premature death for Christians and non-Christians. If I may read to you Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Why shouldest thou die before thy time? My hope and prayer for each and every one of us here tonight is that we will say yes to God and allow Him to make a difference in our lives. And if you do, I can promise you this, it's not going to be a smooth sailing boat. He may allow mess in your life, trials, problems, testings, sicknesses, but if you do say yes, God can turn that mess into a message. God can turn that trial into triumph. God can turn that test into a testimony. And God can turn a victim into a victor. And if you do say yes, my follow-up question is this. Do you allow Him to make a difference in your entire life? In all areas of your life. Notice the phrase, till I shall dig about it. That means all over your life. All areas of your life. You may say, I've been going to church and allowing God to make a difference in my life. Or do you still hold into that one thing, one sin in your life? You're saying, Lord, you can touch everything, but not this one. But the verse says, in all areas of our lives, so that He can nourish our hearts with His Word, to fertilize our hearts with His Word. I will end this with this story. It's a true story. I witnessed this in the youth ministry in the Philippines. 16-year-old young lady went to a birthday party, got drunk with her friends. Then 2 a.m., asked her friend to bring her home using a motorcycle. And he was drunk also. So, she was riding at the back, and then she fell from the motorcycle and got run over by a big truck. And they had to have a closed casket visitation because you will not be able to recognize her. And I believe that was premature death. And I don't want to hear that kind of news, especially from Gospel Light Baptist Church. I want to hear that someone here said, yes, Lord, I allow you to make a difference in my life. And God used him or her in a great and mighty way, and people got saved through that person. That's the kind of news, good news, I would like to hear from this church. My hope and prayer is that you will allow God to make a difference in your life. And it's not just a one-time decision. It's a day-by-day decision. And I will take it further. It's a moment-by-moment decision in our lives to say, yes, Lord, make a difference in my life. Because every second that we are not serving God, we are serving someone else or something else. Will you allow God to make a difference in your life? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm grateful personally to you, God, for making a difference in my life. And I'm glad that I made that decision a long time ago, not just for my salvation, but also in my everyday life. You truly made a difference in my life, oh God. And I'm grateful that you are using me for your glory and for your own praise. I thank you, Lord, for making me and my life a fruitful life, oh God. And I give you the glory and honor and praise for that. And that's the same prayer for my brothers and sisters here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. I pray, oh Lord, that they will just give their hearts and their lives to you and allow you in their entire life, in all areas of their lives, to say yes to you, O Lord, and make a difference in their lives. O Lord God, we come before you, God, and entrust to you the invitation, Lord. I pray you will touch the hearts of your people, O God. And if there's anyone here who's not saved, I pray that that person will settle that issue in his or her life tonight, oh God. And that person will just talk to someone and ask about how to get saved. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you will bless the invitation for tonight. And I pray this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.